24 minutes after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. It's time for our Q&A this beautiful Tuesday morning. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. Today is the 15th of Shawwal 1443. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 15th of Shawwal 1443. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on the chapter 20 Surah Taha and verses 100 and 101. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala granted the greatest mu'jiza and miracle and gift to Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It was, it is, it will always be the Quran Sharif, the noble Quran, 6,236 verses, 114 chapters. Now, people, we have a choice. Chapter 20, verse 100 and 101. Man a'arada anhu, whosoever turns away from it. This Quran Sharif, the direct speech of Almighty Allah, the final and last scripture of Almighty Allah in its pristine purity. All the other books, their additions, omissions, interpolations. Fa innahu yahmilu yawm al-qiyamati wizra. The person who turned away from it, he or she, that person, obviously, yes, mentioned he will be carrying on the day of justice wizra. All the burdens and sins will be upon him, because he rejected the message and the messenger and the greatest miracle of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he or she, they are sane and mature, they will be dispatched to Jahannam, the hellfire, khalidina fih, and they will dwell and stay there forever and ever. وَسَاءَ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حِمْلًا. How horrible, how terrible for them on the day of justice will be that load that they are carrying, the load of vices, the load of blasphemy, the load of polytheism and idol worship, and the load of rejection. So therefore, Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. Certain verses of the noble Qur'an, they elaborate and explain the other verses. In this same chapter, Surah Taha, chapter 20, and inshallah, after a few weeks, we will reach there. Chapter 20, then we see verses number 124, 125, 126. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. Whoever turns away from my reminder, my Quran, my direct speech. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دُنْكَا. Then your worldly life, remember, will become miserable, wretched, and terrible. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. We will resurrect you on the day of justice. Is blind. قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا. Oh Allah, why am I blind? I could see in the world. No spectacles, no contact lenses also maybe. Call Allah simultaneous answer. Kadalika tatka ayatuna fanasitaha. My verses came to you. You abandoned it. You neglected it. You did not bother about it. Wa kadalika yawma tunsa. Today, the day of justice, the day of reckoning, you also will be abandoned, neglected. Get out from here. I don't want to see you. So imagine, I give you three examples, and you tell me, you know Sri Lanka, Ceylon, they only have petrol for one day today, after that no petrol. They want immediately $75 million, and it will go into billions when they look at everything else. Iran, the people are fighting against the government. There is shortage of food and a shortage of basic supplies. Look at our beloved country, South Africa, oh people. Kimberley, certain parts, no water. Tonga, no water. They're speaking about 3 to 6 months. PE day zero is in 1 month's time if no good rains come. Then remember, the taps will be dry, nothing coming out. So each one of us, we're not doing Allah a favor. We're not doing Prophet Muhammad Habibunah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a favor. We're not doing Islam a favor. We're doing ourselves a favor. Study the Quran. Learn the Quran Sharif. Believe in the Quran Sharif. Then believe in the elaboration, explanation of the noble Quran. And that is the Sunnah Mubarakah. Otherwise, the whole world today is in chaos. Whether it's the Muslim countries, Arab countries, Europe and America, everywhere there's turmoil and chaos. Only Almighty Allah can help us. And if we want the divine aid and the help of Allah, then come to Kalamullah, the direct speech of Almighty Allah, and that is the noble Quran. What bigger miracle do you want? It is the only book in its original language without any addition, omission, interpolation, that is memorized and bearhearted by millions of people, male, female, adult and children. The most memorized book in the entire world. Your choice is yours, O brother, O sister. May Almighty Allah guide does all to the truth. Barakallahu fik.
Somebody says, Ustad, that I would like to know what's the purpose of staying in a marriage where the husband does nothing for his wife. She has to see to her own basic needs as well as her children, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You see, when we get married, we must know what is our responsibility and what is our role. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he taught us, his teaching, preaching was not one theory, not one pie in the sky. It was done practically. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married his beloved Ladli, his beloved Sahib Zadi, his beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. She was 15 years, 5 months old, and her name is Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. In the second year of the Hijrah, during Hijrah means migration, during the month of Ramadan, to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, oh Ali radiallahu an, you are my son-in-law. Everything outside, you must take care of that. You are, for example, I'm just giving, you are the Minister of Foreign Affairs. So everything outside, you must take responsibility. Oh, my Ladli, oh, my beloved daughter Fatima, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, everything within the house, you are responsible for that. You are like that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say this. I'm explaining. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything inside, you are responsible. So we will say in our terminology, you are the Minister of Interior Affairs, of Home Affairs, and so forth. So once we know our role, my wife wants to do something, put this plate here, put this there, plate there. Leave it, it's their choice. She's the queen in the house. What we want to poke our nose in all those things there. And outside, you must go, not sit on your laurels and think of Hadi there. So your husband, you are a parasite. You are living on the income of your wife and sitting watching TV the whole day and becoming a potato couch. That definitely is haram and not permissible. Surah 4, chapter chapter 4, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah has commanded every husband that you must be the one to treat your wife with love, with justice and respect. You must be the one earning. You must be the one to supply and provide. And roti kapra makan. You must bring the food. You must bring the, give the shelter. You must give them the clothes. All the responsibilities is on you. Financial obligations for the wife and for the children.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that my dad passed on yesterday. He left his house for me while he was alive because my two other sisters are married and well established. Now they both want their share of my house, which is on my name. What do I do, Ustad?
First and foremost, you, mind your sisters and your family, all must read the following dua, not today only, every day for the remainder of your life. Surah 14, chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ghfirli wa liwalidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. The ending of the 13th Supara, chapter 14, verse 41. And second one, if the house was given to you whilst your father was alive, it's transferred on your name, then finish. It will not form and be part of the estate of your father. And when your father passed away, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. Allah make easy for all of you. Not even 24 hours have passed and the Skopskit and Donner has started already. Now the fighting has started for the worldly things. So number one is burial, funeral expenses. You are the son. Make sure that all that is done immediately. All the debts of your father, he's owing to creditors. You don't wait 3 days and 40 days. Immediately you must try and settle that. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third one, wasiya is for non-heirs, whether it be grandchildren or whether it be organization, whether it be Tom, Dick and Mary. So even a non-Muslim, if he bequeath for them, so remember it must be implemented. And that will be maximum 1/3 of the net estate. And fourth one will come the shares of the heirs. I don't know who the heirs are, but remember what is in the estate. I'm assuming and presuming your mummy is alive, so she will receive 12.5% because she is the wife of the deceased, the widow now. And thereafter, it's one son and then two daughters. I don't know if your dada, dadi, your paternal grandparents are alive. So we will say if they're not alive, 12.5% for the wife, and then the remainder you make four shares, two for you and one for the daughters. If your paternal parents, grandparents are alive, your dada, dadi, so your paternal grandparents are alive, then 1/6, 1/6 for them, that is 1/3 collectively. For the wife will be 12.5%, grandparents 1/3, divided 1/6, 1/6, and then the residue remainder, four shares, two for the son, one for the daughter. You sisters, it is a case of jealousy on your side. You must remember that your husbands are now poking you and giving you that incitement that go, claim your share. But your father gave it already to your brother in his lifetime, is transferred. So remember, then you can go. You have no claim on that, zero. And don't be jealous. Inna nasa malu ila man indahu malu. When people have wealth, people all want to claim something there. So it's not permissible that.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my nikah is coming up, dear Mufti Sab, but I want to surprise my parents with my choice. They have chosen a boy for me, which I'm not happy with. So he agreed on the day of the nikah, he will hand over my choice to me in the masjid. Mufti, am I wrong or am I right to start?
Totally haram and all that. You're watching too many movies, you know? Hollywood, Bollywood movies and all these satanic movies. So now you want to play a prank with your father, mother, disgrace them and so forth. Absolutely haram. You'll be living in sin. All your children will be haramis and illegitimate and bees. So remember that. You better go back to them and tell them that this week, next week, whenever is your nikah, so that you don't want to get married, then you cancel this whole thing. If you want to get married, then take their permission, you happy, they happy, the boy is happy, and then you go ahead. But what you are suggesting on the day of the wedding of the nikah, you will say no, that I'm supposed to get married to ABC, but I'm not marrying him, I will marry XYZ. But your parents don't know anything about it. They didn't give permission. La nikaha illa biwaliyin. The nikah is not permissible without the consent of the guardian, the father, the paternal grandfather, the dada, and so forth. So the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood. You're watching too many movies and watching too many haram things. So what you're suggesting, all haram, not permissible.
I see there's a message that came in now. The brother says, do you know Mr. Putin? He's ruthless and cold-hearted. I don't think you know his lifestyle. He's a disgrace, AK. Think what you are saying. Saudis are better than him, although they are also wrong, Ustad.
Remember, you see, what you are doing is selective coating. I said that Bush, Blair, and remember American leaders. So you must remember Putin. All of them, my words are haramis. Haramis means they illegitimate and they are bees. But we support Putin because Putin, you must remember, is giving America a good bloody nose. And is giving NATO a good bloody nose. Now Finland want to join NATO. Sweden want to join NATO. So you want to expand NATO and tell Putin and Russia they must just sit still, like the Israeli, the rogue apartheid terrorist regime. You steal more and more land of the Palestinians, and then you say no, you keep quiet, we will negotiate on our terms. We say no, that the more you come and steal, the more we will resist, and Allah will help us. And how Allah's help is coming, the whole of Israel humiliated, disgraced, right in the international front. Nobody in his right mind can support Israel now, because they saw what they did with Shirin Abu Akila and the mourners and so forth and so on. It's a cursed nation. Regarding the Arabs, rather you speak less. I don't think you even understand politics or Islam. That the Saudi regime of today, the Emirati regime of today, the Bahrain regime of today, the Morocco regime of today, all bunch of murtads and traitors and out of the fold of Islam. So Putin from the start, he said, me, I'm a Christian, and remember, I will take up their challenge. Therefore, we support him. And we say, Putin, you put them in the right place. That is what you do. I make dua for you. You must destroy these shaitans. So you must remember that.
I see that the new listener who studied, his name is Brother Scott. He says, you see, AK, war in any language means destruction of others. So when will we have war with ourselves? We're too busy finding fault in others, but we are the ones who harm ourselves. We have choices. Scott, Mr. Scott, to start.
You see, Scott, what you are saying is Islam said this long time ago. Islam said, Raja'ana minal jihadil asghari ilal jihadil akbar. So there is kalam, there is discussion academically and all that. But the concept is 100% right. That is, that when you go for a war against the enemy, so that will be the last resort. But that is the smaller struggle, the micro. And the macro struggle is, we have to suppress our own desires, because that is every day in our life till we die. So therefore, Islam said, my brother Scott, that when you are in a situation, first invite people towards Islam. If they embrace Islam, today you are Scott and you embrace Islam, so you become Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, whoever you want to. And if you don't want, and then we will tell you, Scott, you remain a non-Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a atheist. That's your choice. And chapter 2, verse 256, all my Allah states, La ikraha fi deen. There's no compulsion in religion. So you got your choice. But if you are in our country, then you have to pay us tax, like how we all pay tax to the government. So your life will be then protected, your assets will be protected, your honor will be protected. But you want to stay in our country, then you want to threaten us, and then you want to steal our things. So then what must we do? As a last resort, we say war. Now you see, Scott, the problem with you Westerners, when I say you, I don't mean you per se. I mean you, the people who accept America, who accept Britain, who accept Europe. You don't speak like this when it comes to when America, Bush, and when Blair and Britain invaded Iraq, and the Jutli and the Jewish woman Jewess, that Madeleine Albright said, it's worth it to murder and kill 500,000 Iraqi children, my children, my brothers, my sisters. That time the Westerners, they were Scott. You remember that Scott? He was the inspector of United Nations, and he said that this is a crime you're committing. They never heard him. They went against United Nations, and they murdered over a million people. So remember, how come that time, Scott, did you raise your voice? Did you make a noise? When the Muslims are the victims, then everybody or 90% are quiet. But when you have the white man, the white children, the white woman dying, then you want to say war is bad. We know war is bad because we are the targets. We are the victims in Syria. We are the victims in Libya. We are the victims in Palestine. We are the victims in Burma. But because it's white men fighting white men, and Putin is hitting the hell out of the Ukrainians, for whom I have no sympathy, because they were the people and said that, yes, you must attack the Palestinians in Israel and occupied Palestine. So why should we have sympathy and empathy for them? So remember that, look at it holistically and not selectively, my brother Scott.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, I don't know if Ustaz remember Sister Barbara. I see she's with us this morning.
She Ellen's says, wife.
Yes, Ustaz. She says, AK, you seem to be an intellectual. She says, AK, you seem to be an intellectual. I've been listening to your show for a while, but I think you're being a bit biased. Adjust your approach on answering questions. Barbara, Ustad.
Yes, it must be biased when it is against you. You see, the truth is always bitter, my sister Barbara. When we say that Israel is wrong, then it's very hard for the Westerner to consume that. Because, you see, for the Jutlas, the Jews, you have a different law. For the Palestinians, you have a different law. Simple, my sister Barbara, my brother Alan, my brother Scott. I ask you one question. How come your Britain, how come your Europe, how come your Westerners are bending backwards for the refugees and the people of Ukraine? We will give you passport, we will give you ID, we will give you job, we will give you the perks, we will recognize you. Because they're whiteies? Because they're Christian? Because they are so? But what about my brothers, my sisters from Somalia? Your Biden is sending in troops again to Somalia. For what you want to poke your nose in our Somalia? Somalia is 100% Muslim country. But you want to cause more harm in Mogadishu, and you fool the world. Why you treat them as third class? Why my brothers, sisters from Syria, they don't get the same, remember, facilities and perks you're giving to the Ukrainians? But you bomb Syria. Why my brothers from Libya cannot get that? Because they're Muslim? Because they're Arab? So to you, it will look like I am biased. But how can it be biased when I'm speaking the truth and justice? I told you we want peace, but the precursor to peace is justice. If there's no justice, you got one law for your white man, and look at what your chap did in Buffalo. Be honest about it, my sister Barbara, my sister, my brother Alan, my brother Scott. Turn it the other way. If it was a black man, if it was an Arab man, and he shot 10 whites, the world should be screaming, Muslim terrorists, Islam is terrorism, and so forth. How come the white man, you don't say Jewish terrorist? How come you don't say Christian terrorist? Why for the white man you got different laws? That is what we are fighting. We say we don't want the white hegemony. We were born in apartheid. We saw what is apartheid. and now you want to impose your apartheid on us in the world? No, thank you. We will expose you for what you are. Don't come with your white hegemony, yeah? Don't come with your apartheid system, yeah? And treat us as second and third class people, please. We're going to expose you, and we will expose your puppets with you, the Arab regimes. There will be no reset. There will be new world order. And the pandemic, they made you idiots and fools. And remember, it was not a pandemic, it was a plandemic. Didn't I tell you that? So who's by your sister? That don't come with the white hegemony business. Don't come and tell me about the Jews are the chosen people. They are the cursed people on this earth.
Hak, Ustad. I see Barbara says I rest my case, Ustad.
You have to rest your case and pack your suitcase also.
I love you, Ustad. Somebody says, well said, Mufti Saab. I'm listening to you from Fortress. This is Ma. Allah Ta'ala reward you, Mufti Saab, for always speaking the truth and always cursing these jutlas, Ustad. Ma from Fortress.
We don't curse them. We make dua for them. Allah must guide them. At least speak the truth like Gideon Levy, you see. Speak the truth like Amira Hess. Speak the truth like Chomsky. Speak the truth like Finkelstein. Speak the truth like Ilan Pape. So that is what we are asking. You don't want to embrace Islam. It's fine, but speak the truth. Why cover up the war crime of the Jutlas and the Jews? Why cover up the war crimes of the Americans and the British? That have they paid $1 to the Iraqi people they murdered 1 million? Have they paid $1 to the people they murdered in Libya and stole their oil? So these are the facts on the ground. You can't come and make us idiots always, you know. So we must be clear. So Ma, are you enjoying the program? So I told my wife the story of Papa last night, you see. So Papa never slept properly last night. He was busy with his istikhara. Then which Appa he's going to choose from Alipur this time of day.
I see Jonah says, you fearless, Mr. AK. Ustad, Jonah.
Jonah, how are you, my brother? What do you say? What's happening there? You see, you killed another brother of mine in Palestine. So what's wrong with you, Jonah? You love to kill? That when I say you, I don't mean you. I speak of the Jews. They killed the prophets and messengers, you see. They killed Zacharias, peace be upon him. They killed John the Baptist. They tried to assassinate and kill Jesus, peace be upon him. They tried to assassinate Prophet Muhammad, Habibuna Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Jews need to take a good look at themselves. Jonah, you know what you must do? I'm giving you my number, and I give it every time. I got no problem. 071-888-1184. So yesterday I sent out a clip. It's all from you guys. This guy says that let us study Israel. Let us study Hitler and so forth. So Hitler himself joined the Jews initially to get the Zionists. When I say they're Jews, I mean Zionists. To get his party off, you know, and so forth. But then he got greedy. He said that, no, I can become the leader and cause harm to these guys and so forth. So that person whose clip I sent out, he quoted one person, some Steinberg or whatever. I'm not 100% sure of the name. He said last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever, he even suggested, he said he knows it will never happen, but he suggested it. He said what Israel needs to do, they need to put one statue of Hitler there in Israel. Because if there was no Hitler, then there should be no Israel. So directly, indirectly, he did you Jews a big favor that your state of Israel came into being, because people became so sympathetic, empathetic towards you. So my brother Jonah, when you want to talk and speak, then we must speak academically and speak the truth. Therefore, I like you because you retracted your statement and you apologized. So you come onto my group, 071-888-1184. I send out a lot of Islamic things. You don't want to read that, it's fine. But we send out a lot of things about the Jews, where it's exposing their hypocrisy and double standards. So that will be Hitler's first law. the past, he said that we're going to ban the pornography and homosexuality. What is wrong with that, Jonah? Because the Jews were the people promoting that in Germany. I am going to ban this interest business because you Jews are charging the Germans exorbitant rates. I am going to get jobs for the Germans. In 2 years, he did what no government till today can do. He arranged jobs for 6 million people in 2 years. Who said all this, Jonah? Your rabbi taught me all that. So what is good, we will take from the rabbi also. Remember, that is what our Islam teaches us.
I see. Jonah says he will be listening to you, but of course, inviting you in the same group, he says, no, that he won't do that, or else he's going to be causing problems for him and his family. Jonah will start.
No problem. Shalom is gone. Now we deal with Jonah. No problem, Jonah. I invited you. You accepted good. You don't accept it. You decline. It is good. We got no problem. But you listen to us. Right, Jonah? Right. He says, okay, you listen.
Ustad Ronnie, our friend, says that, is there any difference compared to the Jews of the Prophet Muhammad's time and to the Jews of today? Is there any difference in that, Ustad, Brother Ronnie?
Yes, big difference. You must remember, in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were Jews in Medina Munawwara. There were three tribes, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, Banu Nadir. Some of them believed in Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and they believed in the Torah and so forth. It was a religion. Mm-hmm. Finish, Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending, end of the story. But in the ending of the 18th year, you know, 1800s. So if you study the history of Zionism, now we're going to go in the 1800s ending, starting 1900. Then the movement started, Theodor Herzl and them, and the Zionist movement. So what has happened, my brother Ronnie, is this, that Judaism is a religion. And many of them are good people, meaning they don't want war, they don't want all this type of thing, they want to coexist. But when Judaism was hijacked by Zionism, that is where all the problems came about. So they said, we're going to take over Palestine and make it Israel. We're going to take over Jerusalem and make it our eternal and undivided capital. And then we're going to have our flag, a white flag with two blue lines, one line on top and one line at the bottom, Minal Furati ila Nil, from the Euphrates in Iraq to the River Nile. And they put already their puppets there, the puppet in Egypt and the puppet in Iraq. So all that now is fulfilled as far as Zionism goes. So now they want to fulfill the last part of the jigsaw, the puzzle. And that is when you study Jerusalem, Al-Quds al-Sharif, then you see our Masjid al-Aqsa. So there you will find the Dome of the Rock, the beautiful golden dome, Surah Yasin inscribed around it. And this was built in the year 82 after Hijrah migration by Abdul Malik bin Marwan. They, the Jutlas, the Zionists, want to demolish it, demolish it, and replace it with Haikal-e Suleimani. They have tried every stunt in the book and every trick in the book. They brought the archaeologists, they brought this one, that one. They could find no trace at all, and they fooled the world. See how, that is what I speak here about. And the Muslims and Arabs better wake up from your slumber. That is how they sell it to the world, how they sold Israel. They said that we are Jutlas, we are Jews, we are a people without the land, and there is a land without the people. But there were people there, the Palestinians were there, but they considered them to be non-entities. So now they sell this marketing of theirs. So they say that the Temple Mount, so what the Jutla calls Kubbatu Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock, Temple Mount. Temple Mount is the holiest place for Judaism and Jews. And if you read the Haaretz, they say that is not the truth. You see, they're speaking the truth, what we say, that the Jutlas are lying again, speaking with the forked tongue. And for the Muslims, Muslims is the third holiest place. You see the games they play. That for them is the holiest place. And for the Muslims is the third holiest place. So how they stole our mosque in Hebron, they want to steal Aqsa al-Mubarak. Wake up, you Arab puppets and traitors. Wake up, you Muslims who are fast asleep. And wake up, O Jutlas. You will never get it right. The day you come and you try that, then you see what will happen. You will wake up a sleeping lion. You saw the world, how they woke up when you murdered execution style our sister in humanity, Shirin Abu Aqila. So the world will wake up, and you are a cursed nation. And I'm telling you, Jutlas, now, and I know you record me, and tell your intelligence, came up for you. Remember, you're not going to last another 70 years. Allah has promised us this in the Quran. Our army will come and disfigure you, and we will enter Masjid al-Aqsa as we entered the first time, and we will crush your pride and arrogance. Chapter 17, verse 7. So may Almighty Allah bring about the true peace on this earth and expose those who are the enemies of humanity. 11 to 12. We will speak to you, inshallah, the bliss of marriage. 1 to 2 will be tafsir. 8:30 to 9, Mona Zahid show will be Mufti Desai, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.